Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with your co-hosts Matthew Davis and Matt Kupferle.
Welcome to episode 23 of FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm your co-host Matt Kupferle, and as always, we're here on Sunday morning trying to get you ready for a little bit of fab, and I'm joined by my co-host Matthew Davis. Matthew, how's it going?
Good morning. All is well, outside of the fact that I rolled out Colby Howard this week. So after I got on the podcast last week and mentioned that we probably didn't start any of those fringe two-step guys, I went ahead and did it, and he absolutely destroyed my ratios in my best main event. But other than that, I'm excited. Today's a special Sunday. It is NFL kickoff week one. And so before we dive into the Fab podcast and talking about, who we're going to be going over, I just wanted to let the listeners know that in the article itself, there isn't any breakdowns or tiers, any projected budget allocations, just because everybody's pretty much broke. There's only 2 weeks left. And so once we go over all of these guys, you'll kind of have to just mitigate and figure out yourself how much to be bidding on these guys. I'm assuming most of your league mates are less than $100 or around there. So the bidding won't be as aggressive. And other than that, let's touch on the schedule real quick. So there's three teams playing five games, Cubs, Giants, and Royals. So those are kind of the hitters at the first half of the week. Tuesday and Wednesday are their only games. So they're not going to provide much value. And one of those teams was the Giants, who had a player test positive on Friday, and we saw their series against the Padres get postponed all weekend. So if you have anybody on the Giants, this is likely just a week, even with the volume of only two games, that you're going to sit those guys offensively. And then that could impact the Seattle Mariners, who are projected to have seven games, but that might not happen if, depending on what's going on with the San Francisco Giants. So there's a couple of teams that I wanted to mention before talking about those hitters, and 10 games are being played this week for the Cardinals, and we know why. That's because of what happened earlier in the year with COVID. So they have 10 games. That is, if there's anybody available offensively in your free agency and they are a starter, I would 100% look to add them. We'll get into that. And then in 9 games, we have the Marlins and Pirates, and then with 8 games, we have the Brewers, Orioles, and Phillies. So those are the 6 teams that I'm going to kind of want to look to add players for the most part. And that's kind of how we want to attack that schedule this week.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense, Matthew. Obviously, we'll have that through the players. Volume is king, as you continue to mention. And it's really important down the stretch. Keep in mind, making those tough choices are going to be what we're going to have to work through. Like you mentioned with Colby Allard, and you're not the only one. There's a lot of us that had similar choices that it just didn't work out for. So good call outs there. Let's dive into our 15 team hitters as we go through a bunch of names that have been providing some value. You've listed Andrelton Simmons again. We've been talking about him for a little bit, but again, he continues to remain hot at the dish. Brian Goodwin is getting considerable playing time for the Cincinnati Reds as they have struggled in their outfield. I think I've seen him batting fifth recently for the Reds. So that's an interesting name to consider, along with you've got his teammate Shogo Akiyama, who's now batting leadoff, and we've been talking about him as well. Some other names, Edward Olivares has been getting some playing time for the Royals, has been popping a few home runs, watched a long Harrison Bader home run yesterday. So out of this list, Matthew, who are you really picking out? Obviously, it's going to be maybe a bit prescriptive for what your team needs, but who sticks out for you?
Yeah, you mentioned Brian Goodwin hitting fifth, and that's because Mike Moustakas and Jesse Winker are both dealing with injuries. I don't think either are severe enough to put them on the IL, but they are missing time with it. And so we saw Goodwin slide into that lineup right away when it's being traded. And then Shogo Akiyama, we talked about last week, a lot of people were cutting him. And you asked me if I was kind of in on him, and I mentioned that I was. Unfortunately, I didn't start him this week because he stole let me see how many actual bases he stole, so I'm not wrong on this, but I know that he had a successful week. He has four stolen bases in the last 2 weeks and 5 total in the last 3 weeks, which is just extremely valuable for you. And that OBP we were talking about, last week it was 353, and now in 16 plate appearances this week it's 500. So that plate discipline didn't translate right away, and it looks to be translating now. So if he's going to be leading off for the Reds, that offense is still decent without Moustakas and Winker in it. Yeah. If he's going to be stealing bases along the way, I think that he could be really viable down this stretch. A thing that we want to emphasize this week too, Matt, is the categories are still extremely close. We're used to this season being 6 months. So as of, at this point in the season, when it is the middle of September and we've done 5.5 months of grinding, you're going to look at your ratios regardless of them being good or bad or wherever they're at, and you're going to be like, oh, well, those are pretty much done. My average is pretty much done. Yeah, it's going to be hard to make up some, you know, an aggressive amount of ground in ratios, but there are still 2 weeks left, a full 2 weeks. And so if you do have a roaring, successful, just smashing 2 weeks, regardless of where you're at, I think that there is still plenty of ground to be made up in your league. So don't be complacent. Don't get lazy. Just grind out these last 2 weeks. Not many teams have a lot of money. So just be competitive in your bids and make sure that you pile on more contingency bids than usual, because you're going to end up getting somebody for a lot less than normal because the budget allocations are cheap. So sorry to go off on a tangent there, but I wanted to make sure that, you know, we kind of emphasize that this week. So you also mentioned Andrelton Simmons. I like him. We saw him hitting leadoff for the Angels, but then yesterday in Coors, he was hitting lower in the lineup. I think now his last like 9 plate appearances are all in Coors Field. He's like 0-for-9. So I don't know what they're doing there, but we've also seen his teammate start to get some burn at the top of the lineup, and that is Walsh. He's now hitting second pretty much every day for the Anaheim Angels. So I'm kind of intrigued with him as well. Especially if he's going to continue to hit there. He's on a hitting brigade right now. He has 4 multi-hit games in his last 5 games, and he's just, I mean, he also has 4 home runs in all of those games with like 10 RBIs. So he's going to be someone, you know, anytime somebody is hitting the shit out of the ball and they're a hot player, they're going to be added everywhere. And then you top on that he's hitting in front of Mike Trout, and he's a hot hitter. He's gonna get some bids, but we're all broke, so none of these bids are going to be too much. So he's somebody that I would look to be adding pretty much everywhere. And then another guy that's kind of interesting to me, I ended up starting him this week on a whim and in my best draft champions, one that happened before the season began, and that's Rougned Odor. His ownership continues to drop because of the volatility, and people just can't take it anymore pretty much. I've owned him plenty of times, and if it's not in a draft champions league, you know, you can't, if you don't know, you can't cut those guys in draft champions. So I have him there, and I know that he's been getting cut everywhere, but he is an extremely streaky hitter, and he had a solid week. So I'm not saying that he's going to turn a corner and give you an MVP next 2 weeks, but if he does, you know, start to keep or continue flashing that power that we've seen the last couple of days, then he could be somebody viable, you know, and hot down the stretch. Another one's Colin Moran. We mentioned that the Pirates have 9 games this week, so I'm going to be interested in him. You mentioned Harrison Bader. He had a home run yesterday. The Cardinals have 10 games, and he's starting, so I definitely want a little bit of him. And then another guy actually is Vinmail Machin. How do we talk about the new A's?
I was going to let you tackle that name.
I should have asked Scott Jenstad before coming on, but he's going to be taking over for Matt Chapman for the most part. Matt Chapman is now done for the season.
Yep.
And we've seen Vinmail. I think I know how to say his first name better than his last name, so we'll go there. I think that he is just going to get all that burn. And we saw him play in both games in the doubleheader, and he's been pretty successful so far. So I'm kind of intrigued there, and I don't think that he's going to cost a lot of money. So, yeah, I'm interested there. Do you know anything about him, Matt?
I don't. I was actually trying to do some research on him yesterday when I saw Chapman was out for the year. Don't have a total or a great understanding of him, but it is interesting. Just any viability in that lineup is one that I want to have a little bit of shares of. So I need to do some more research on him today, but certainly I think he's a worthy ad for sure.
Yeah, that offense is clicking, and they have their Tuesday and Wednesday games. So they have 3 games in the first half of the week. And after they play Seattle, they're off to Coors for a quick 2.
Yeah.
And Vinmail has shortstop, third base, second base, middle infield, corner infield eligibility.
Ooh.
So that could be extremely viable down the stretch as well. So if he is going to be playing every day, which as of now, it kind of looks like it. The other guy there would be Chad Pinder. I know that they like to move him around a little bit, though. So second base, outfield, DH, that kind of thing. So I think Machin, the machine. We'll call him the machine.
The machine.
Nowhere
yeah.
near his. Nowhere near his name. But let's just be nice and say something nice. So, yeah, I would look to be adding him as well. Another catcher. We've mentioned him probably every. I think this has been the only hitter that we've mentioned every single week, or is on the article at least, and that's Yan Gomes. He's still hitting in the thick of that Nationals lineup. I know the Nationals didn't do anything this year, and they've been a huge disappointment, but. Gomes plays, and Gomes can hit. So he's not going to kill you in the batting average department, and, he can provide a little bit of power with some RBIs. And so I like him. And then one last guy, and I promise I'm done talking about these guys, and that's going to be Willy Castro. He's hitting every single day behind Imer Candelario, and that Detroit Tigers offense is pretty stingy. And we've now seen Willy's batting average get up to 349. He's contributing in runs, home runs, RBIs. And he's hitting fifth every single day. And the Tigers, they're not going to – we've talked about their depth last week and the injuries that they've had. They pretty much got to roll these guys out. And if they're going to be successful, they're just going to continue to do it. And I like Willy Castro. And he also comes with third base shortstop eligibility, which makes him middle infield, corner infield.
Matthew, how do you look at, as somebody that owns quite a few shares of guys like Tommy Edman, I added Brad Miller on your recommendation, Paul DeJong, how do you prioritize in this last 2-week stretch? You talked about the 10 games the Cardinals have, but how do you prioritize the fact that a lot of those guys are struggling at the dish over the last week versus some of these other names? Do we still, is volume still king, or do we start to maybe... get a little bit nervous about that? Because to be honest with you, Matthew, Brad Miller's DHing nearly every game. I think he got an off day against one of the lefties in a doubleheader. Paul DeJong and Tommy Edman play every day. How do we, for anybody really, do you always prioritize volume over any struggling hitter, or how do you work through that in your brain?
Well, I definitely think it is team constructive, and, it's always independent of how the team is being laid out. So if we had to throw DeJong, Edman, and who was the other one you mentioned? Bader and
Brad Miller.
Carpenter, those kind of guys, yeah. Brad Miller. Those guys, I think in 15 teams, because of how slim the pool is, I think that regardless, just because of the volume, and even if you said they're not going to do anything, you would kind of you would almost roll them out there anyways because of the volume. And I think in regards to like Harrison Bader, though, somebody that I'm kind of, he's probably like the lowest on the totem pole and somebody I would want if all were available this upcoming week. So I would kind of look, I would put him to the side and say, oh, I'm definitely starting Carpenter and DeJong and Edmund and Miller, but maybe not Bader. If I can get, let's say, like the machine or, somebody that I know that's hitting every day in the middle of the lineup or somewhere near it, like Willy Castro or Shogo Akiyama hitting at the top, and he provides stolen bases. So I would rather have Shogo Akiyama over Harrison Bader, for example, because I know that I'm going to be, or I'm hoping that I should be getting the continuing trend of stolen bases, because he's very aggressive on the base paths right now, and he's being successful. So that's kind of like, if you need the stolen bases and stuff like that, then maybe you tilt back the volume a little bit for somebody that you have more confidence in providing you that category. And that's kind of something, too, you need to be looking at this late in the season is, where are you at? Because stolen bases are extremely, extremely tight still. A lot of things, all the categories are still extremely tight, but that could help you make your decision when looking at things. Where are you at in stolen bases? Where are you at in regards to home runs or RBIs? So, that's going to be dependent if you want Shogo Akiyama or if you want Travis Shaw.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So
yeah. No.
That's kind of what I look at it. And then if it gets closer and closer, Matt, and you're like, okay, well now... now both of these guys are real similar. This guy's playing, maybe one more extra game. Usually that can sway you to just playing that player. But then at that point, don't be lazy. Pull up next week's schedule and see who they're facing and what ballparks they're playing in. And let that be the final decision.
No, very good points. Let's touch on pitchers, Matthew, in this format. Some names to think about. Alex Wood of the Dodgers starts to get some interest. The Dodgers are going through a lot of changes right now in that pitching staff. We've got Cole Hamels potentially returning from a shoulder injury, and that would be a huge boost or benefit, as they're going to need that arm right away. Diego Castillo continues to throw the heck out of the ball. Reynaldo Lopez, I believe, threw 5 shutout innings yesterday for the White Sox. And you've got my boy Tuki Toussaint, who I have a whiplash memory of how poorly he threw. He's on the list as well. So step us through those pitchers and who do you like?
Okay, so Alex Wood, starting with him, he's been coming out of the bullpen, but Dustin May was hit on the foot, and he had an inconclusive contusion. Doesn't sound like he's going to hit the IL, but it sounds like he is going to miss some time. They ended up that the bullpen was burnt out the day prior on Friday, so they had to go with Tony Gonsolin a little bit early as well. So now he's got to rest for 5 days. So I think that Alex Wood could get some opportunities here this week. Possibly as a follower, maybe even as a starter. I know that the Dodgers still have TBD as to be determined. And their upcoming schedule outside of Clayton Kershaw having a 2-start week. So Alex Wood being on the Dodgers, having that there's some injuries, maybe he does get a start. Maybe he piggybacks and picks up a cheap win or two this week. So I have some interest in him. Cole Hamels is slated to go Wednesday this week. If he does and it's successful, that puts him in line to be a 2-step the week after, which he could, I mean, depending on budgets, could be one of your more expensive pitchers, depending on budget and performance this week. So he would be a 2-step the last week. Diego Castillo got another save yesterday. And it's weird because you'll see Nick Anderson come in and get the hole. Then you'll see Diego Castillo come in sometimes and pitch the 5th or 6th inning. And then Nick Anderson's getting the save. This is the Tampa Bay Rays. They are always frustrating. But since August 26th, Diego Castillo now has 4 saves. He's gotten a save each of the last 3 weeks with 2 3 weeks ago, and he's been phenomenal. He's only allowed 1 earned run in those last 3 weeks with 8 strikeouts. So Diego Castillo has the stuff. He shouldn't hurt you in ratios, and hopefully he picks up a win if he does come in the 5th or 6th inning and, you know, it's a tied game and they take the lead, or if he does end up getting a save. So I think that that's somebody that you need to look for if you do need those help in ratios or if you want to stabilize your ratios and if you're desperate for saves. Next guy would be Hunter Harvey. He's supposed to be the guy in Baltimore, but they don't, you know, they're not going to win a lot of games, I guess. So it's kind of difficult. And even when they do, you know, those types of teams with bullpens like that, when they are in the lead, it's difficult to obtain and sustain the lead. And that's been frustrating before for me. So if you need a closer and you're really desperate right now, which, you know, saves are still tight as well, then Hunter Harvey is somebody to look at. The other guy's Rafael Deleuze. We saw Anthony Bass get the hold yesterday, and Deleuze ended up getting the save. He's had a really nice couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He's vultured a win along the way. So Deleuze is somebody that I would look to add. Reynaldo Lopez looked decent yesterday. His next matchup is tough against the Twins, though, so I would tread with caution there. Tuki Toussaint does get a 2-step, and he's back. The Atlanta Braves are absolutely desperate for pitching, so if Tuki's going to be pitching okay, I think they're going to just kind of let him go. They really have no other choice at this point. So he gets a start against Baltimore and then a start against the Mets if he's able to do decent enough against Baltimore, because we've seen how erratic Tuki can be. And then the one last person in 15 leagues or 15 team leagues is Yoan Ramirez for the Seattle Mariners. We thought that Yoshi Hirano was going to be getting the saves there, but we've seen Ramirez now get 3 saves. He's pitched pretty damn well, actually. So I think that he would be the guy for the remainder of the season. And that's it for the pitchers. If any of these pitchers you see are in the article and they're not mentioned under 12 teams, that's because I kind of segregated them this week because I'm wanting everything to be not as jammed. And I mentioned how there's not the allocation. So any of those 15-team pitchers, they could still be somewhat viable depending on your situation and depending on your free agent pool in your 12-team leagues as well.
Yeah, and let's move and talk quickly. There's just a couple of guys you got highlighted in these 12-teamers that maybe carry a little bit more weight. And just see, Matthew, if there's anybody you want to touch on that's maybe a little bit different. I'm personally curious on the hitter side to get your opinion on Manny Margot, who's a guy I own. I've had a hard time starting him because of his inconsistent playing time. You've also got Yoshi Tsutsugo on the same team, who's hitting the heck out of the ball, went way deep on an upper decker this week. Who do you like in that 12-team format that could maybe stick out a little bit more? Matthew, you there?
Yeah, sorry about that. I was on mute drinking some tea. Manny Margot is frustrating with the playing time because it is the Tampa Bay Rays and they do shuffle everything around like that. But he's had a good weekend and he had 2 stolen bases on Friday. He has 7 stolen bases since September. So since the beginning of the month, he has 7 stolen bases. Do you know how valuable that is? So I think if that's going to continue to trend and even if he sits out 1 or 2 games, so they have off Monday, and then they have 2 against Washington, and then 4 against Baltimore. Even if he sits out 1, so maybe if he's not in the lineup on the 15th on Tuesday, you tread with caution and you sit him, possibly. If he is in the lineup, I'm rolling him out there because then he's probably most likely going to play at least 2 of those 3. And then I'm rolling him out over the weekend. And he's similar to Shogo Akiyama, but his ownership percentages are a bit higher than Shogo's right now. I think people were a bit tired at it of Shogo Akiyama, and it's funny because Manny Margot is playing less, but he kind of has a similar skill set, and then everyone goes, looks to go and add him because it's just, he hasn't been pooped on you like Akiyama has. So, but maybe you like that if you're OBJ. I don't know what you're into, but. I think that those are some of those guys there that I would look for in the hitting in the 12 team. Another guy would be Ty France, Tyler O'Neill. We mentioned the 10 games in for the Cardinals. So Tyler O'Neill, ton season. Maybe he can help you those last couple of weeks. And then as usual, the candy man, Jaime Candelario. He's been one of my best hitters on a couple of my main event teams for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
And he's the guy for me. If he's not available in any of my leagues, I would have already owned him. But I know this is just box score chasing, but since the third week of the season, his weekly average is 429, 304, 321, 381, 333, 409.
Yeah, he's been hot.
And his slow ass has snuck in 1 stolen base. And did I see this correct yesterday? I did. Miguel Cabrera stole a base.
He stole a base, yeah.
Okay, was it a thing on Twitter and I missed it?
It was. It was pretty funny. Okay. Yeah, he stole his first base in like 10 years or something ridiculous.
I was going to say, it's got to be like a decade, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, so those are the guys there. Okay. Jerks and Profar as well. I think it was Phil Dussault, who's a really, really, really sharp NFBC main event player as well. I think he was talking about if you eliminated Jerks and Profar's first 2 weeks of the season, look a lot different. And it goes to show you if you do have a really, really bad 2 weeks, hit 125 and 083 those first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It hurts. His batting average is still at 239, which isn't going to pop, but 22 runs, 6 home runs, 19 RBIs, 4 stolen bases. I mean, he's chipping in everywhere. And then you go, well, look at that batting average. So the weeks it's been 286, 304, and 385.
Yeah.
San Diego Padres offense can hit. And if he's available, I like him. And he comes with that positional eligibility as well. So,
yeah.
Cool. Anything else you want to touch on for hitters before we move to 12-team pitchers?
No, I don't have anything. I was just going to highlight that as we move to pitchers, Matthew, and close things out with the show. Any 2-steppers or any additional pitchers in 12-teamers you've got? Freddie Peralta's been pretty interesting on the Brewers. I noticed Nady Evaldi's out there. Devin Williams is throwing that filthy changeup. Any of those guys particularly interesting or any 2-starters you're willing to – I know you said tread carefully there, but anybody that really that catches you that you want to roster?
Yeah, so let's first talk about Joe Musgrove. Yeah, Joe Musgrove is slated to have a 2-step, and he was virtually owned everywhere and drafted everywhere, but his ownership in the online championship is only 47%, talking to you, Brian, and Matt. And he's playing at Cincinnati, but that's a banged-up Cincinnati offense that we mentioned. And then he's facing Seattle, but Seattle is just peppered with games, so maybe that's a game that Paul Goldschmidt sits, or Tommy Edman, or maybe one or two of those pieces that are struggling offense as it is. One of those pieces sits, then it gets a little bit weaker. And Musgrove, I was concerned initially when adding him back. His starts were against the Cubs and the White Sox, and then I was also worried about the ramp-up process and the innings pitched. In his last start against the White Sox, he was fairly impressive with 5 strikeouts in 4 innings. So I think that this time around he could be in line for that five-inning threshold, which is definitely what you want. And then with the two steps, I like him. So he's somebody – and then apologies to my listeners last week. I got extremely tied up with the newborn and some other things last Sunday, and I didn't update my article, and we didn't talk about Davey Garcia of the New York Yankees. I think that he is going to end up sticking in that rotation, and he has looked phenomenal for the New York Yankees. So he's somebody that I would really like to add if he's available, but it's going to be hard pressed to get him. And you know, if you're in one of those leagues that's got a lot of sharp players, because he's probably gone at this point. And last week was the week to get him, and he kind of cost some money. And then Nady Evaldi is the other guy. He's slated. He was on the IL, so he got dropped in a decent amount of leagues. He's got a 58% ownership in the RotoWire Online Championship. And he's going to be coming off the IL this week, and he's going to be facing the Miami Marlins at home, but it is a Wednesday start. So similar to Cole Hamels, these are two people. We only have 2 weeks left. So anybody going week that's on your free agency, and if it's only a one start and you're kind of not that intrigued, but maybe the next week you are, be ahead of the curve and add them this week. Even if you don't start them, if you have the room, stash them. Because – you know, let's say you add Nate Eovaldi and you don't want to start him because he's coming off the IL. Maybe his innings or pitch count is a little pressed, and maybe the Marlins do get to him. But let's say he ends up going five or six innings and his velocity's up and you didn't start him, and he'd give you a decent start, five innings, two earned runs, five strikeouts, let's say. But it looked good and the velocity was there. He'll end up costing much more if it, you know, depending on budgets. But that last week of the season, if he looks good on this Wednesday, he's going to be a hot topic that last week of the season with that two-step. So those are the guys this week. Even if you don't want to start him, if you have the budget and you have somewhere to sit him, do it. There's only 2 weeks left. You probably have a stash option at this point. I mean, you can't start everyone, and we only have 2 weeks left. So things are drying up. Things are getting slim. Nay, of all these, some of them I'm wanting to take a look at. You don't have to start him this week, but hold him, grab him, look at him. Because if he does look decent and that velo's back up, he's been decent and he has flashed – you know, some nice starts this year. So I think that he could be someone that helps down the stretch. And then that's it for the free agent list. But what – okay, so Carlos Martinez, there's a lot of – these St. Louis guys are getting their two steps. Are you confident starting Carlos Martinez this week? Are you confident – I know we're going to be confident starting Jack Flaherty. Is there any of these guys as the two steps, Matt, before we close out that – most of them look to be owned, except for, it's weird, like Jorge Lopez, obviously. But Joe Musgrove is going to be one that's going to be added. He's going to be added everywhere. But outside of that, do you see all these guys, let's say they're all owned, that you normally you see those two steps, you force yourself to starting them. Are you cutting somebody like Tommy Malone if you added him last week because he was a Brave and now he's got the two-step against Baltimore and New York, or are you rolling him out? Like, what are we doing with those guys this week?
I think a guy like Tommy Malone, he's just been so dreadful. I think he's worthy of a cut in that specific instance. I'm not starting Carlos Martinez, although it does look like he's stretched out from a pitch count perspective. I personally just don't see enough there, and I could be totally wrong about that. One I'm going to hold on, Matthew, is Tony Gonsolin. I think tentatively he could be starting Tuesday and Sunday. The problem with Tuesday and Sunday is that I believe that puts him in line for a start against the Padres, and then a start in Colorado. That's just not something that I want to do to mess with my ratios, but overall I still believe in Gonsolin. If for some reason he gets bumped past Sunday and he's out of the Coors series, that makes me obviously even higher on him, but I'm not cutting Tony Gonsolin at this point. But for a lot of those, I think at this point, to your earlier advice, if you're not starting him in a two-step with only 2 weeks to go, I think you can get rid of a lot of those guys.
All right, let's. We both have some Tony Gonsolin in our lives. Are you starting him this week?
Nope.
Let's say he's at San Diego and at Colorado.
Nope, I am not.
Nope. Okay.
I'm not starting him. If he's only at San Diego, I'm probably not starting him too. Now I've got some depth, but I'm just nervous now about the blow up and what that could do. I already got blown up this week once and he had two really good outings. But the Daniel Hudson effort Friday night and to close out that save really hurt my ratios. You've also got a number of owners, Matthew, that had the Kenley Jansen experience this week where I don't think he recorded an out, but he gave up four or five earned runs. So That's going to hurt. So some of us are kind of working our way back from some of those experiences. I think you want to avoid it if you can. Now you may be forced to, and I understand that, but for me, I'm not going to.
Okay. Another guy would be like Mike Minor, Michael Wacha.
Yeah, Mike Minor scares me.
Those guys, fuck, dude. I'm so, like, after all this hard work I've done and seeing Colby Aller, just fuck, man. Yeah. I mean, it hurts, guys. It hurts, trust me, and it can bring down your morale, but you got to keep going. I can't wait to cut that fucker. If I didn't have a heart, I would look for his address and his Twitter handle and start going down that road, but I'm not a sociopath. So hopefully that guy just has a good career moving forward. He's still young and has some talent, so whatever. To each his own. It was a learning lesson. I've learned a lot this week, and I'd actually like to have before the season ends, or right after the season ends, actually, is a podcast talking about what everything we did wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about anything we did right. I want to talk about everything we did wrong, because it can help people.
Yeah, for sure.
Understand thought process, and then it can also understand your thought process after you got hit in the mouth.
Yeah.
And those are the things we talked about that with Alex. That's how you learn, and that's how you become a better fantasy player. And I truly, truly believe, regardless if I have a positive or negative ROI this year, because everything's still close and I'm right there in a couple main events, but learning those things are so valuable. And I seriously think I've learned more this short season, even outside of COVID and everything random that's been thrown into this mix, the DH and the double headers of seven innings. I think I've learned a lot, managing teams, roster construction, what to do in tight situations. So I'd love to talk about that.
Sounds good. Absolutely. Cool. Well, I think that wraps things up, Matthew, for this Sunday. Hope everybody, if you like the NFL, enjoy the NFL, enjoy a plethora of football games, but don't forget about those baseball leagues. And as always, please make sure you hit up Matthew and I with any questions as you've got, you know, on Twitter. We love interacting. Matthew, anything from you before we close out?
Yeah, if you're in a fantasy baseball league and you're in the middle of the pack even, or a little bit below that, or even if you're dead fucking last, don't stop playing. Add guys, be active, start your players. It can screw with the standings, and it can hurt someone that's trying desperately hard to climb up because you're not doing your due diligence. So don't be a lazy fucker. Play your lineups. I'm serious, man. I hate seeing that shit. I hate it. I hate it more than anything in baseball. People get so lazy. Oh, it's football season and I'm not winning. I'm done. Like, no, you signed up for a full season. Be a man or a woman and play your full season. That's what you signed up for.
I like it.
Do that due diligence for your league mates, at least.
I like it. All right, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Matthew, as always, it was great working through your FAB article. For the listeners, you can check that out in written form over at ftnfantasy.com. And have a great Sunday.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with the two Matts. Please rate, subscribe, and review the podcast, and we hope you listen again soon.